If a government employee sends a business-related text on their smartphone, is it legally a matter of public record? Well, the California Supreme Court took up that case last month, and it's expected to be decided early next month. This all began, according to the LA Times, about 8 years ago when a San Jose activist, Ted Smith, filed for a public records request for communications between San Jose's former mayor and officials involved in a downtown development project. In that case, the question is, if communications were done on a personal device, are they subject to that order? With us is James McManus, the lawyer in San Jose who was representing Ted Smith, the petitioner here. Mr. McManus, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So is there any sort of a precedent here on what the law considers a public versus a private device?
Well, not to my knowledge, in the sense of a case. The statute in the Constitution of California, in my view, could not be clearer on this subject, however.
Okay. And so your claim is that if the city's business was being done, in this case, doesn't matter on what device, it's still subject to open record laws?
That's what the statute says.
Okay. So the statute says that, or is just silent on the issue of the means of communication?
Well, the statute says that defines public records as any writing containing information relating to the conduct of the public's business prepared, owned, used, or retained by a local agency. And the key word in that sentence is the word or. The city of San Jose took the view that it was really meant and unless it was on city servers, it wasn't a public record. We absolutely disagree, and that's the question before the Supreme Court.
As a practical matter, if you had a public employee who said, "I didn't engage in any business communication with someone else," would the court, under your interpretation of the law, still be able to demand the person's private device and to look at it to confirm if that's true or not?
Well, that's a question for another day and another case. We're not interested in rifling through public employees' emails, and I think they need to be given some level of trust so that if they do a search and they say there's nothing there, fine. But if they do a search and they find public matters on their private devices, they've got to produce those.
Yeah, but you would leave it to the employee to make that determination, or would you allow a public entity to do a search?
Well, in the first instance, I think it should be up to the employee how the public entity views its obligations. That's for them to say. And of course, being the United States, a rule of law country, anybody can ask for a hearing if there's some question about whether the claims are true or not.
We're talking with Attorney Jim McManus, representing Ted Smith, the petitioner in San Jose, who wants access to business-related texts that were conducted between public employees in San Jose and those working on a project that required city approval. Also with us is the city attorney for San Jose, Rick Doyle. Mr. Doyle, welcome.
Larry, thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing well. So what's the city's position on this?
Well, our position has been reading the same statute that the legislature hasn't gone that far, and it's not intended to cover any kind of texts or things on or information on private devices, whether it be personal email or personal phones and texts. And that is to the point of it's for another day. It's really up to the legislature to decide. The Court of Appeal agreed with us that the statute didn't go that far and that it was really best left to the state legislature that if they wanted to include these types of communications that they were the best to handle it. So it's sitting before the Supreme Court. The case has been briefed and argued, and we're waiting for a decision.
And so what are the implications? The court come back and says, yes, this is the private device, and communication on that can be considered part of the public record if it's a public communication. How will the city deal with that?
Well, we are a nation of laws, and we would follow the law. But as a practical matter, it is a problem. Obviously, the definition says public records include any writing relating to the conduct of the public's business, and that's very broad. So, if I'm a city council member sending a text to someone concerning an item on an upcoming council agenda, that's pretty easy. If I'm a maintenance worker sending a text about the condition of a lawn in a park, both would be covered by this definition. And I think there's a lot of, we have 5,000 employees here in San Jose, and there's a lot of room there for the breadth would be so difficult to, as a practical matter, to handle.
The concern, obviously, is that with sensitive communications, that public employees can use their private devices as a shield from public scrutiny. And what would be a practical way to avoid that without making the personal device, the private device, potentially public?
Well, that's a legitimate question. And again, that's why we think it's best handled by the legislature. This is an important policy issue, and, given these devices. And, in fact, the city of San Jose has adopted its own policy that applies to city council members and council staffs, that to the extent they have such communications, that they are, on a self-reporting basis, required to report it or turn it over to the city.
We're talking with the city attorney for San Jose, Rick Doyle, with us. Also with us, private trial attorney Jim McManus, representing the plaintiff, Ted Smith, seeking to get the private device of San Jose employees and communications on it examined, and the California Supreme Court taking this matter up. Mr. McManus, is it your sense that public employees are turning to private devices to keep matters out of public scrutiny?
Well, I don't. I wouldn't go that far. Although I wouldn't rule it out either. We've seen, I guess, in recent times, public employees using private devices, and why they do that, I don't know. I don't think it would be a big problem, as my friend Rick Doyle seems to say. I think, frankly, if the court interprets the statute correctly, you're not going to see public employees using private devices, and any possible mischief would be eliminated.
Okay. It sounded like the justices were really struggling with how to have the level of public scrutiny that is intended by the legislature versus protecting the privacy of the phone owners. Do you think there's a way to serve both of those masters, Mr. McManus?
Well, I think there is, and you're absolutely right. That was, I'd say, most of the questions we got at the Supreme Court argument were, how would we do this as a practical matter? And I take things as kind of a step-by-step process. I think that the only question before the court is the proper interpretation of the statute, which in my mind clearly makes these public communications, even though they're on private devices. And these other problems should wait for another day, when we can have hearings in the trial court. People can testify if necessary, provide affidavits, evidence, and then the trial judges can make a decision. I mean, we have probably the greatest trial bench in the country. These are all excellent judges who deal with these problems all the time, especially in Silicon Valley, where we deal with trade secrets. They make these decisions routinely. And I don't think we should, twist the meaning of the statute because we're concerned that there may be some problem someday about something.
All right, Craig in downtown Los Angeles, you're on Air Talk.
I just wanted to say that I feel the position that a single message being sent from a device by a public employee makes it a public device. That's nonsensical. The vast majority of these government agencies do not provide device or the airtime for their employees, but you certainly still would expect your public employees to be available to answer like their boss's questions on a regular basis, even if they're not face to face. So
Yeah. So you see that that's inherently unfair as you see it. That
exactly.
Yeah. Craig, I appreciate it. Rick Doyle, San Jose City Attorney. What is the city's policy about cell phones? And are most employees given a city-issued phone? Or are they given credit toward the cost of their personal service because they use it for business, too? How does that work?
No, only a handful really are given city-issued phones, and they're typically management level. Obviously, police officers have equipment that is provided them, but they're not given stipends for cell phones either. So it is limited, and that's why I think to your caller's point, it's really a problem. I mean, the California Constitution gives everybody in the state a right of privacy, and that's something that I think factors into these situations. So we've tried to craft a policy that I think works. I think it is limited to city council members and their staff, and it's self-reporting. They don't have to turn their device over. The government doesn't have a right to grab their device. But if they have communications, they're supposed to turn those communications over.
All right. I want to thank you both very much for talking with us. That's Rick Doyle, city attorney for San Jose, and Jim McManus, San Jose-based trial attorney representing the plaintiff, Ted Smith, trying to get access to texts sent by city employees on their private devices. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, we'll talk with evolutionary psychologist, professor at the University of Texas at Austin, David Buss. His book, The Evolution of Desire, was a huge hit a number of years ago, and he's revised the book in the wake of new research about what motivates us in relationships and sexually. Back after a live update from Deborah Mark.